At 12:10 a.m. on Tuesday, June 14, 1994, exactly 24 hours after the bodies of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman were found in the courtyard of Nicole's condominium at 875 South Bundy Drive, O.J. Simpson walked upstairs into his bedroom at 360 North Rockingham Avenue. He was not alone. He was accompanied by a man he had known for many years. This man, whom we will call Leo, was experienced in criminal procedure and had some knowledge of the techniques of determining guilt from innocence. What Leo learned by talking to Simpson in his bedroom that night would leave him deeply troubled. That bedroom conversation was part of a week in which O.J. Simpson said other things about and to his dead wife. They might be construed as cries of the heart, or they might be construed as something else, something considerably more significant. An hour earlier, O.J. Simpson was downstairs, sitting on a couch between two of his best friends. Swirling around him were some of the people who loved him, his sisters, Shirley and Carmelita, their children and grandchildren, and his frail mother, Eunice Simpson. Simpson's sisters were worried about their brother's circumstances, most immediately his exhaustion. Between his landing in Chicago at 4:15 a.m. and his being summoned by police at 5:45 a.m., and told to fly back to Los Angeles, he had gotten little sleep. On that plane ride home, Simpson had placed several calls from his cellular phone. One was to Nicole's parents' house in Laguna. Nicole's sister Denise had answered the phone.
"You murdered her,"
she had shouted. "Me?" he had exclaimed.
"You murdered her. You always said you would,"
she continued. After his flight had landed, Simpson had been driven by limousine to his house, been handcuffed, de-handcuffed, and taken to police headquarters, where he allowed himself to be questioned for over 3 hours without his attorney, Howard Weitzman, present. At 6 p.m., Bob Kardashian had driven Simpson back to Rockingham. A few of Simpson's intimates had assembled, in states of disbelief and shock. All of them had been in this house, with its pool table and trophy room and sports den with four TVs, on the happiest of occasions. The Christmas Eves and Thanksgivings, the 4th of July post-softball game barbecues where people played basketball on the tennis court and everybody got thrown into the pool with their clothes on. For an entire community of close friends, these nights and days had been the highlights of the first half of their adult lives. The Simpsons' life had been troubled in the last 2 years. They had divorced without ever letting go of each other. But for so many years, their front door had always been open.
They made a dream life. They had the world. They should have been laughing at the world.
Linda Schumann, Nicole's best friend for many of those years, would agree, sick at heart and incredulous as so many were. Linda added in a whisper,
"How could this have happened?"
All of those in the house tonight seemed to silently be asking that question, but more in sadness than in innocence. All those close to Simpson knew about the couple's fights and about their love and their dependence. One seemed inextricably tied to the other.